Turn God's Word this morning to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We'll read the first 19 verses of the chapter. And at the end of the service this morning, I'll use as my closing benediction verses 20 and 21, as sometimes I do. Hebrews 13, we'll read the first 19 verses. This is the Word of God. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. And thus far we read God's word. As I said, the text is verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, knowing our dependence upon the Holy Spirit to open our ears and open our hearts, we pray for such an opening of the Spirit in us so that we would be ready to hear this word and follow it and obey it as faithful servants and followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Use this word to be an encouragement to the leaders of the church. And use this word as well to be an encouragement to all of us and how we are to respect them and honor them. But in the end, we pray, Father, that thou wilt use this word to glorify thyself and that thou wilt establish peace here in our congregation. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we dive into the text, it's good for us to understand the context. And just going back to verses 15 and 16 of the chapter, we see and understand that the whole of the book of Hebrews could be summarized by what we read in verse 15. Verse 15 begins, by him. The him there is Jesus Christ. The focus of the book of Hebrews is on Jesus Christ as our high priest, and that it's only through Jesus Christ that we can have fellowship and life with God. The writer to the Hebrew Christians is writing this to these Hebrew Christians because there were some of them who wanted to forsake their confession of Jesus Christ because of the persecution that they were enduring. And they thought they wouldn't be losing anything by forsaking Christ and going back to the Old Testament Jewish ways. And so the writer is writing and saying, no, do not forsake Jesus Christ, because he is the only way to fellowship with the Father. But here in verse 15, we see that Jesus Christ is the one who makes us part of a glad company of saints who worship and praise God. Going back to Hebrews 11, there's this cloud of witnesses in the Old Testament who are worshipers of God, trusting in God and his promises. And now we find out that they're not alone. We are part of that glad company, that cloud of witnesses that worship God. So it's through Jesus Christ, then, that we offer sacrifices of praises to God continually. Again, the writer here is going back to Old Testament language, using an Old Testament idea, thank offerings. The people of Israel brought thank offerings to God. And the writer here is saying, thank offerings continue. Not in the same way the people did it in the Old Testament, not with animals, not with loaves of bread that were waved before God. But now we bring our thanks with our lips. In our worship, we thank and praise God for our salvation through Jesus Christ. And not just with our lips, but in a life of obedience to God. And we might say, what does that have to do with the text that we're looking at this morning? Well, it's this. One of the ways that we offer our thank offering to God is by following our church leaders. That's the relationship of verse 17 to the verses that go before. We might think, oh, the writer here is just rapid fire dealing with this subject, this subject, this subject, and they don't seem to be related. No, they are. Thankful Christians show their gratitude in many different ways. One of them is this, following the leaders that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to them in the church. So this passage that we look at this morning is an important passage, not just for all of us, but it's an important passage, first of all, for the leaders of the church, pastor, elders, deacons. It's speaking to them about the callings and responsibilities that God has given to them to encourage them in that work. And this is a needed encouragement for them. But also this word is important for us as a congregation, because the word instructs us that as part of our worship of God, we are to obey and submit to these leaders that Christ has given. I want an important word for us in our day. We live in a world that is constantly attacking authority and rebelling against authority, and that can filter into the church as well. That's a great danger for us, and it's not a new problem. And so this word is important for all of us, that we remember on this occasion of the installation of elders and deacons how we are to live as a congregation in relationship to these men that the Lord Jesus Christ has placed over us. So with that in mind, we consider this morning this text under the theme, Following Our Leaders. Following our leaders. Notice, first of all, the appointed leaders. Secondly, the calling to follow. And then finally, the joyful prophet. Notice, first of all, with me that the text describes the work of Christ-appointed office bearers in the church. The text is not doing it in a specific way just towards elders or towards deacons or towards pastors, but it's giving more of a general instruction to these leaders in the church about how they are to carry out their work. We heard specifics this morning from Scripture as summarized in the form for the ordination of elders and deacons. But here there's a broader instruction that is given to the office bearers in regard to their work. Now this morning, I'm calling them leaders. And you might think, why call them leaders? Well, it's really the idea of the word that is found here in the text. In verse 17, when it speaks of those that have the rule over you, that could be translated ruler, or it could be translated leaders or guides. That's the very idea of that word. Elders, deacons, pastors in the church are exactly that. They are leaders and they are guides for us. Now, we want to understand what that means. The only way to do that is in connection to our Lord Jesus Christ. The grand theme of the book of Hebrews is that Christ is our all-sufficient guide who leads us to God. He's the all-sufficient guide who leads us to God. This Christ has appointed in the church spiritual leaders to guide us on his behalf. And so we see and understand this morning that the office bearers in the church are leaders under Christ. And they lead. The idea is they go before the church. They go before the church. They go before the church in faith and in godliness. Really, when we look at this text, have to go back to verse 7 in the same chapter, which says this, remember them which have the rule over you. Same word. Remember those who lead you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So that verse is saying that the leaders in the church are those who are going before in faith and in godliness in their lives. And they're saying to the congregation, follow behind us. The leaders of the church are not those who are behind, as it were, driving the sheep. They're not shouting out from behind, don't do that. Oh yeah, do that. Don't do that. Do that. No, they're those who are out in front and they're setting an example for the congregation. And then they're going back and saying to the people of God behind them as they're leading, don't go in that way. Go in this way. We're struggling to do what's right as well. We're struggling to live in faith. But as we're struggling and we're striving to be faithful, follow behind us in the way in which we go. So the leaders of the church then are those who live in faith and godliness. They're those who read God's word and pray. They're striving to live a consistent life of gratitude to God, as verses 15 and 16 speak of that. But that's not the only idea. There's some specifics here about leaders in the church. There are specific ways the office bearers lead the congregation. The first way is this. They speak the word of God, or they guide us with the word of God. Verse 7 is saying that. Remember those leaders which have spoken unto you the word of God. These men guide us in the word of God. That should be true of them. So that as those who follow behind, we're not saying, well, I do something because Pastor so-and-so said this, or because Elder so-and-so said this, or because Deacon so-and-so said this. We're not just blindly leading them and following them and thinking, well, everything that they say must be truth because of their office. No, we follow them because they are leading us not with their own words and their own wisdom, but with the word and the wisdom of God. Faithful leaders are in the Word themselves, and they bring the Word of God to God's people, trusting in the power of that Word, so that we can say, well, I believe what Pastor said. I believe what Elder so-and-so said. I believe what Deacon so-and-so said, because when they brought the Word of God, they explained that Word to me, and they applied that Word to me, and I believe what God says in His Word, and I will follow that. So leaders in the church are those who lead with the Word of God. The second specific that we come to in the text is that leaders are called to watch for your souls as those who must give account. It's a very interesting idea to this word, watching over souls. The literal idea of that word is to be sleepless or to watch and be ready. The idea here is not that the leaders of the church function as private investigators trying to know everything that's happening in the church and everything that's happening in your lives. No, that's not the idea. They don't lie awake. They're not sleepless because they're out trying to investigate everything. But they lie awake at night pondering our spiritual well-being. They think about how they can help us. They think about how they can support us spiritually. And that's the very idea of souls. The leaders of the church are gifted by God to care for our spiritual well-being. That's the point of souls. They care for our spiritual well-being. It may be that some of you have spiritual advisors who advise you on investments or advise you on budgeting, and you go to them with those kinds of questions and for that kind of advice. Some of you may have auto advisors, a mechanic that you go to before you buy a car. You're going to have the mechanic check that car out. Should I buy this car or shouldn't I? Give me some advice on this. Or my car's broken down. What should I do to get it running again? I need some advice on that. Well, when it comes to our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us advisors as well, men who care for our souls and watch over our souls. And that's the realm of the leaders of the church. It's the care of our souls. They want to protect you from spiritual danger, from the wolves that may be within, from the wolves that try to come in from without. And they want to devour you. God has set leaders over you to care for your souls, to protect you from those dangers. So that the leaders of the church are busy in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, asking themselves the question, what is best for the souls of God's people? And they do that as those who must give an account. The idea is, they must answer to the chief shepherd for everything that they do. They don't answer to the congregation, although in some ways they do. But in the end, they're not concerned about pleasing men. They're concerned about pleasing the chief shepherd, reflecting him, bringing his word, doing what is right before him, because they're called to give an account to him for what they did with the sheep. So they give their lives for the well-being of the sheep, the well-being of the congregation, with this always in mind. So that's the idea here of what the leaders in the church are called to do. They go before in faith and in godliness, and they bring the Word of God as they lead the congregation and say, obey the Word of God, believe the Word of God. And they do that as well, caring for the souls of the congregation. So this word that we consider this morning is an encouragement to the spiritual leaders of the church as they undertake the spiritual leadership of caring for our souls. So elders, deacons, and to myself, let me speak to you for a moment. Men, be guides in the Word of God and Christian living. Let us be men who practice what we preach and set godly examples in our lives. Let us be men of the Word who do our work with the Word, not just reading a passage with God's people and then moving on, but reading a passage, explaining the passage, applying the passage to their lives as well. May we be men who are out in front of the sheep, leading in the way that they are to go in prayer and in faith and living by God's word in our lives. Let's be men who bear the burden of this responsibility, giving our lives to serve Christ and his church. May we be men who lie awake at night, not with worry and not with fear, but thinking about the sheep and their needs, thinking about the sufferings they go through and what they need, thinking about the sin that they struggle against and what they need. Let us be men who go to those who stray, calling them to repentance, and let us be men who weep with those who are hurting and comfort them with God's word. May we be men who reflect the love and care of the Good Shepherd himself, and who are Christ-like. Men especially who reflect the compassion of Jesus Christ. I've been struck by that lately. I'm reading a couple of things on the compassion of Jesus Christ and thus the compassion that we are to show to one another. Sometimes that can be very lacking within the church, but as office bearers, as leaders in the church, we are to be those who are leading in this way because Christ was so compassionate, so patient, so kind with his sheep, with his people. And we in our offices are to reflect that. We remember that we must give an account so that whenever we're tempted to sin, whenever we're tempted to neglect the sheep, whenever we're tempted to think first of ourselves, let's remember that we will have to answer for what we do to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As we ponder that and as we feel the weight of that responsibility, leaders, let's know our need as well for the grace of God. I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 16. Who is sufficient for these things? And the answer is none of us is. And that's why I believe verse 18 follows from verse 17. I almost thought about making it part of the text this morning. But notice what the writer goes on to say. Pray for us. Why does he say that? Why does he say pray for us? Because he's feeling the weight of the responsibility that is upon him and that's upon all the leaders, the spiritual leaders in the church. Pray. That's an important word for us as leaders. One of the most important aspects of our work. Pray for the flock. Pray for the congregation. Pray regularly. Pray often for God's people and for the church. But people of God, this is one of the most important things that you can do for your office bearers. Pray for them. Pray for us. Pray for wisdom. Pray for compassion. Pray for strength to be faithful leaders in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So pray for me. Pray for your elders. Pray for your deacons. So the text sets before us this morning some of the callings and responsibilities of the leaders of the church and as an encouragement to them. But now there's also a calling that's found here to follow. To follow. The idea of the text here is that we are to follow with submission the God-ordained authority in the church as an element, as an aspect of our service and worship of God in our lives. And notice then the commands that come here in the text. Obey them that have the rule over you. Remember, obey your spiritual leaders and submit yourselves. So we have to look at those two words a moment. Obey. This word obey is not the usual word that you would find in the New Testament for obey. It means literally to be persuaded by or to listen to. The idea is that we are to receive the spiritual teaching and instructing of our spiritual leaders. We are to listen to them and obey the word of God that they bring because what they bring is the word of God. It's not their own. We're to obey the word of God that comes from the pulpit, and we are to obey the word of God as it's brought to us in our homes and as it's brought to us individually. The idea here is that those who follow these spiritual leaders do so with a teachable spirit. A humble, teachable spirit. The idea is that you and I do not have it all figured out. We can easily deceive ourselves and think that we do. I've got it all figured out. Who is he to tell me what I ought to do? Remember, when we're pointing at him, an office bearer, and he's bringing the word of God to us, in the end, we're really pointing up and saying, who is he that he's going to tell us what we ought to do? He's the only one who is all-knowing. He is the only one who is sovereign God. We aren't. And that means then that we follow our Lord Jesus Christ by following the leaders that he has given to us with a teachable spirit, ready to learn from the word of God with all eagerness and submission. And there's that other word, submission. Submit yourselves. The idea of the word submit is yield. Yield to those who God has put over you. This here speaks to the attitude that we have towards those who God has put over us. We are to place ourselves under them. We yield to them. We submit to them. We honor them. That doesn't mean we always agree with them. But our attitude is always one of submission and yielding to the leadership that God has placed in our lives. What a striking word that is in our day. It's not new, but it is striking. It certainly stands against the age of rebellion against authority in which we live today. Just think for a moment about the age in which we live. It's the age of defunding police. It's the age of protests. It's the age of rants on social media about the existing authorities in the world and even in the church. We live in such an age because philosophies in the world work through. They work through. It's the cancel culture of our age. We don't like what you're saying. You're canceled. You're out. I know truth. I know it's right. I'm just going to follow myself in my own way. I'm the authority of my life. This is the age in which we live. And the word of God comes always counter to that culture and says, this is how we follow Jesus Christ. This is how we worship our God in our lives. We yield. We submit. This morning, I call us all of us, including me, in our hearts to examine then also our lives and ask ourselves, are we following this word of God? Obey them that lead you and submit yourselves. Are we doing that in our lives? Or are we constantly critical of the leaders of the church? Is that our default setting? Critical, skeptical, cynical, having conspiracy theories about what they're really doing? Are we spreading that poison in our homes? I've seen homes where that poison has been spread, and it's awful. It affects the coming generations. In the end, some want nothing to do with the church. Are we submitting to authority in our lives? Some might say today, yeah, but I don't trust them. And there are leaders who have done wrong things. Trust has been broken at times. But beloved, notice when it comes to this text and other passages in the Word of God, that breaking of trust doesn't mean then, oh, I don't have to obey them. I don't have to submit to them. I've seen many times where this lack of trust becomes an excuse for not submitting to leadership in the church, and then judging of motives and all of the rest. And there is in our day this practice of judging leaders rashly or unheard and violating the ninth commandment in doing so. There's some who think that they know everything And they may just throw out the judgment. Oh, the elders here did a wrong thing, and the elders there did a wrong thing. Oh, I know what's really going on. And the reality is they don't know everything that went into the decision that elders may have made in what they have done. My beloved, the Word of God comes to us and reminds us we are to submit. We are to yield to those who lead us. That doesn't mean you may never question the leaders. I'm not here pounding on the pulpit and saying you always have to do what they say and you may ever disagree. Elders make mistakes. Deacons make mistakes. Pastors make mistakes. We sin. We do. And that's why in our church order there's an Article 31 where there's this process of protest and appeal. But even in that, when that process is gone through, we should do so with this word in mind. Obey them. We want to hear the word of God. We can easily think, I don't agree with them. My way is right. Their way is wrong. And they need to be persuaded that they're wrong. Now, elders or councils, they need to listen. They do need to listen because they may be wrong. But the same may be true for someone who's protesting. They might be wrong. And so in all humility, we ought to go to one another, listening to each other and wanting to understand so that we can come to a good resolution, obeying and yielding. Listening and understanding and coming to an understanding of what's right according to the Word of God. Beloved, the Word of God is coming to us this morning and it's saying to us, obey them, listen to them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. And really what the text is doing to emphasize that to us and to the church is it gives reasons for why we ought to do that. And I point out four reasons for why we ought to do this. And these are not things that I come with. They come out of the Word of God itself. And we ought to feel the weight of these reasons. Four, we might say, grounds for why we should follow the leaders of the church. What are they? First of all, this. And this one's the most important. This one, in essence, would be enough. But there are more. Follow your spiritual leaders as an element of grateful worship and praise to the Lord. Remember, the text is connected to the previous verses, which call us to offer spiritual sacrifices of praises to God constantly. We are to give thanks to His name. And that's why we come here on the Lord's Day. We give thanks to His name. This Word of God is saying part of the way in which we give thanks to the name of our God is we follow the leaders of the church as an activity of worship and service to God. This is one of the ways we give thanks for our salvation. If we don't, it's not consistent with the worship that we bring to God. When we're here in worship, when we're in our homes worshiping God. So worship leads to following the leaders that God has given to us. So let's follow our spiritual leaders with thankful hearts. Secondly, follow your spiritual leaders because their authority comes from Christ. We noticed that earlier. Their authority comes from Christ. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And what's true of pastors and teachers is true of all the spiritual leaders in the church. They are a gift from God. And their authority comes from God and from Jesus Christ. And so we are to receive these men as authorities because Jesus Christ has placed them in that position of authority. In other words, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Do you strive in your life to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, to submit yourself to Him? And one of the ways that we do that is to submit to the leaders that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. That's the second weighty reason. Third is, follow your spiritual leaders because they, under the authority of Christ, are called to watch for your souls. These men do lie awake at night pondering how they can help you and how they can support you in your walk with God. They lie awake thinking about that at night. What better reason then is for us then to follow them as they're trying to care for our souls? So as they bring the word of God to you, follow that word of God that they bring to you. And then finally, follow your spiritual leaders, because they are called to give an account. They're called to give an account. They must answer to the head and king of the church for everything that they do. They're not serving in the church for their own benefit. They shouldn't be. In the end, they're serving because they want to serve Christ and want to serve you in that way. So respond to them by obeying the word of God and living in faith and yielding to them in your lives. That's the fourth reason. You see these important reasons then for why we are to obey and follow and submit to our leaders. Really, there's a fifth reason. That fifth reason is what we come to in the last point of the sermon this morning. There's a joyful prophet. A joyful prophet. When the congregation follows its spiritual leaders by obeying the word and submitting, the idea of the text here is that this makes the work a great joy and a blessing for the leaders. Notice the end of verse 17. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Part of the idea here is that there is a grief for these men in the work that they do. The greatest discouragement for your office bearers is when their integrity, their dedication, their sincerity, their motives, and their judgments are constantly questioned. It's a great grief to the leaders of the church and to the Lord Jesus Christ when they are shown disrespect and dishonor. When there's gossip and all kinds of accusations that are thrown out. Along with this, it's a great grief, and probably this is greater than anything, when there's hard-heartedness in the church. And there's not a submission to the word of God. Not what we say, but there's not a submission to the word of God. There's no greater grief to the leaders of the church when the church doesn't bow to God and his word. It can lead men to grief and despair in their work. And it is happening in our day. It's happening in our day. It's happening in the church, and not just broadly in the church world. It's happening in our own churches as well, where men are driven to grief and despair because of these things. On the other hand, it's a great encouragement to these spiritual leaders. It's, in fact, a great joy when in the congregation there's a readiness to believe the word of God, when there's a readiness to obey the word of God and follow the word of God. When sinners repent of their sin because the Spirit is working by means of the Word, there's no greater joy. We're told that there's great joy among the angels in heaven when a sinner repents. If there's great joy among the angels in heaven, then certainly there's a great joy among the leaders of the church and among the church when sinners repent of their sin. When we're living in the fear of God, when we're following in God's ways, there is a great joy among the leaders of the church, because then there's an atmosphere in the church of growth, growth in faith, and growth in godliness. Beloved, it gives the leaders of the church great joy when the word is followed and we're living in faith, because God is honored and worshipped in that way. It's not about making anybody's life easier. It's about the fact that God is honored and worshipped in that following and in that obeying and in that yielding. So we see here this joyful prophet, the joy that there is for leaders when they see the congregation following behind them in faith and in godliness. But there's another aspect to that. Another great blessing or benefit of following church leaders is that it produces a unified, godly, and spiritually strong church. The idea of the text is that it speaks of what is profitable and unprofitable for the church. What is unprofitable for the church is when the congregation does not respect her leaders. You know what that leads to? It leads to division and strife within the church. And where division and strife are found in the church is miserable. It's not just the leaders. The church is miserable. There's no joy in a church with this constant strife and division. When leaders and the congregation are not carrying out their callings faithfully, that's what it leads to. And that's what we need to hear this morning. Leaders need to hear it. Congregation needs to hear it. If we're not following what the Word of God says, this is always what it leads to. Never something good within the church. Never joy. Never unity. But disunity, strife, and constant misery. But when church leaders and congregation are following God's Word, there will be peace and unity, which is a great joy. Then, within the church, there will be a taste of heaven. A taste of heaven. Because what will heaven be? Perfect joy as we perfectly obey our God and live in perfect peace with one another. When we're living that here on this earth, and of course we will not be perfect in that, we will not have the fullness of heaven, but to the degree we live that, we will have a taste of heaven here within the church. And the taste is sweet. That's what we want in the church. Where we're together following the Word of God, where we together are worshiping and serving God in obedience to the head and the king of the church. And what a joy and what a blessing this is within the church. So what we pray for is this: may God grant that. May God grant that. May God give us leaders, strength, and faithfulness in our work. May God give us strength as a congregation to follow our leaders as they bring us that word. And may He give us joy and peace in that. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray for each other. We pray for strength to follow the leading of Jesus Christ. Give the leaders of the church the strength to be Christ-like, to follow the words themselves, the word themselves, to be men of faith and godliness. Grant us strength as a congregation to follow them, to obey thy word and submit ourselves to that word in all things. We pray that there be peace and be joy in our church and in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever they are found. We pray this all in dependence upon thee, in dependence upon the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.